Scripture reading for today is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
We are pressing on with the sermon and Bible study series on spiritual gifts, and we will conclude this series at next Sunday's sermon. And so let us continue to maintain a posture of response towards God's word as we ponder and reflect about what it means for us to live a life of service. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we gather to seek your face and listen to your word, to know your will for our lives. Speak, O Lord, for we are listening. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Back in 2010, there was a romantic comedy entitled Eat, Pray, Love. It's based on the autobiography by an author, Elizabeth Gilbert. And in this movie, Julia Roberts acted the main character in this book, and she had everything that a woman could hope for. Handsome husband, beautiful house, successful career. But like many people in this world, she was lost, confused, and disillusioned. She was seeking after the true meaning of life. And unfortunately, her marriage broke down. And so she stepped out of her comfort zone. She traveled all around the world in order to find the true meaning of life. And so as she traveled around the world, she discovered the joy of eating in Italy, the power of prayer in India, and the meaning of love in Indonesia. And that was why the book and the movie entitled Eat, Pray, Love. For us who are disciples of Jesus Christ, where do we find true meaning? In the midst of the hardship, the trials, and the tribulations that we go through. And these are questions not just asked by we ourselves, they were asked by the early disciples as well. Because the early disciples in those days, they were going through hardship, suffering, and persecution. And the Apostle Peter was trying to answer those questions in his letter. And to a church that was going through suffering, he was exhorting the Christians to remain faithful by reminding them that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for their sins, had risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and he will come again. And because Christ will return, he will come and bring an end to this present age. And because of that, there is true meaning in the midst of all the trials, the troubles, and tribulations that we go through. And so with the passing of more than 2,000 years, we are nearer to Christ's return than ever before. How then should we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, prepare ourselves for Christ's return? But instead of trying to eat, pray, love, let us, according to today's exhortation, prepare for Christ's return by pray, love, serve. And the first way for us to prepare for Christ's return is to adopt a posture of prayerfulness. For it is written, In verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. The point is that when we know that Christ will surely come again, it will lead to self-control. It will lead to sober-mindedness. And self-control and sober-mindedness will sustain us in our prayer life. And in other words, a heightened sense of readiness will lead to a deepened sense of prayerfulness. Back in the 1960s, a United States artillery officer, he was trying to train different badges of recruits in those days. And he reported the different level of readiness, different level of alertness among the recruits. In the early 1960s, he realized that the recruits were all trying to stay awake during the training. They were not interested. But he had a very different experience training recruits from 1965 to 1967. What was the difference in the level of readiness? What made the difference for the recruits in the 1965 batch? It was a matter of life and death. Because in a matter of weeks' time, in 6 weeks' time, they will be deployed to fight in Vietnam. It was a matter of life and death. And it shows us that the heightened sense of readiness for us Christians will lead to a deepened sense of prayerfulness. And how does it look like for us to adopt such a posture of prayerfulness? The story was told of a man, an elderly man, living in a town by the sea. He was known among the town people as a very prayerful man, an elderly man who spent time in prayer, a very pious, holy man. One day, a boy was walking by the seaside, and he saw this old man by the sea praying. And so this boy went up to the old man and said, "Can you teach me how to pray?" The old man looked at this boy and was surprised by that request. "Do you really want to learn how to pray?" And the boy replied, "Sure, of course." And without any warning, the old man plunged the boy's head into the water and held him there in that position for a few moments and then released him. And the boy, after catching his breath, he shouted at the old man, "What were you trying to do?" And the old man replied, "That was your first lesson in prayer. The moment you desire God like the way that you desire for breath, you will learn how to pray. The moment you desire for God like the way you desire for breath, you will learn how to pray." Now for us, we understand this principle, isn't it so? We understand that. But it is more often the fact that we, at different points in our life, may struggle with spiritual desire. We lose the desire to pray. And how do we overcome that state of prayerlessness? And do that situation, Martin Lloyd-Jones, a well-known preacher and author, once made this observation. He once said, "When one finds oneself in this condition and that it is difficult to pray, do not struggle in prayer for the time being, but read something that will warm and stimulate you, and you will find that you put you into a condition in which you will be able to pray more freely." And perhaps this recommendation might be helpful for some among us who need some help to adopt the posture of prayerfulness. So let us, in this Lent season, grow in that posture of prayerfulness so that we will be ever more ready for Christ's return. The second way to prepare for Christ's return is to have a response of love. The Apostle Peter writes in verses 8 to 9, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." Now, to a church that was undergoing suffering, hardship, persecution. It was remarkable that the Apostle Peter was exhorting them to love one another earnestly. Why is that remarkable? Because in times of hardship, in times of suffering, in times of persecution, it brings out the worst in people. It brings out the worst in people in times of hardship. Because it is not easy to love people in difficult times. It is not easy to show hospitality in challenging times. And it is exactly at those times that Peter wanted them to keep loving one another earnestly, because love covers a multitude of sins. And what this means is that love expresses itself in forgiveness. Love expresses itself in hospitality. The story told of two friends. They were walking in a desert towards a destination that was far and long. It was a difficult journey in the desert. And during that difficult journey, they had an argument. The argument, one friend slapped the other friend. And the one who was slapped in the face, he was hurt, but he did not retaliate. But he only wrote in the sand, "Today, my friend slapped me." And they continued their journey. In that long, difficult journey, they finally found an oasis. And because of their thirst, they rushed and plunged into the water to quench their thirst. But the one who had been slapped, he lost his footing, he lost his balance, he fell into the water, and without knowing the depth of the oasis, he was drowning. And so the other friend reached out for him, pulled him out of the water, and saved his life. And after he regained his consciousness and realized that the friend who had slapped him had saved his life, he engraved these words into a stone. "Today, my friend saved my life." So the other guy was puzzled, and he asked, "Why are you doing this? After I had slapped you, you wrote these words in the sand, and after I had saved you, you engraved these words in stone. Why was that so?" And the reply was this: "When somebody had hurt us, we write it in sand so that the winds of love and forgiveness can erase it away. But when somebody had done good to us, we engrave it in stone where no wind can ever erase it." So how does it look like for us to adopt such a response of love? Even in hardship, even in suffering, even in trials, even in tribulations. In our marriage life, family life, work life, and church life, there will be times when we will be annoyed, agitated, and angered by one another. And it is exactly at those times that we have a response to make. We can let anger sink deep, bitter roots of resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness in our hearts and destroy us from deep within and destroy everybody around us. Or we can choose to let the wind of love and forgiveness erase it all away. And we can do so, not because of our own strength, but because we recall and remember that God had first forgiven each and every one of us in Christ. Because ultimately, without love, there is no forgiveness. And without forgiveness, there is no hospitality. So are there people in our lives whom God has reminded us to show love, forgiveness, and hospitality? In this Lent season, let us grow in our response of love, so that we will be ever more ready for Christ's return. The third way to prepare for Christ's return is to live a life of service. The Apostle Peter writes in verses 10 to 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Times of hardship, times of suffering, times of persecution can bring out the worst in people. But because Christ makes all the difference, he can bring out the best in people. And the best in people refers to the exhortation to love one another and to serve one another. Because this is what the Apostle Peter writes, that we are to keep loving one another, show hospitality to one another, and to serve one another. And when we realize that the exhortation towards one another is expressed in this way, we begin to realize what the Apostle Peter was trying to say. In times of hardship, suffering, and persecution, we rather withdraw from one another. We rather isolate from one another. We rather not do anything for one another. But it is exactly in times of hardship, suffering, and persecution that Christ makes all the difference in our lives. In the exhortation to reach out to one another in love, hospitality, and service. And specifically, Peter Wright reminds us that each and every one of us is given at least one spiritual gift according to God's grace to serve one another. And therefore, we are to go forth to be faithful stewards of God's gracious gifts and to live a life of service. This Bible and sermon series will end next Sunday. But the question that each and every one of us must ask is this: what are the gifts, talents, and skills that God has given to me to serve one another? Because we believe what the Bible says, each and every one of us in Christ is given at least one spiritual gift. And it is our duty, our responsibility, and our privilege to know those gifts, to exercise those gifts for the sake of one another. Because the church team, equipping God's people, advancing his kingdom, is not just merely a purpose we realize for God, but rather a privilege we receive from God. And we realize that difference between a purpose and a privilege. We realize that what a privilege it is for each and every one of us to have received God's grace to serve one another. The British wartime Prime Minister, Sir Winston Churchill, once inspired a nation with these words: we can make a living by what we get, but we can make a life by what we give. Therefore, let us go forth to make a life that is meaningful in Christ, by living a life of service. In my previous sermon, I've given the challenge to some among us that instead of retire from ministry, remember what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to change your tire. You can change your tire and can go the distance. Because you have reached a certain season in life, you might have to change your tire. And after that sermon, about a month ago, in China News Asia, it was reported in the news that Dr. Charles Toh, who was still working full-time as a cardiologist at 93 years old, 93 years old, he's still working full-time. And one of the reasons why he is able to practice cardiology is because he does not conduct any surgery. Because as a cardiac surgeon, he would have a much lower retirement age. But as a cardiologist, he could continue working and serving his patients. And the ways that he maintained an active mental, social, and professional life should inspire us. As long as the Lord gives us that strength to press on. Because we, who are in Christ, have so many more reasons for us to have an active, faithful, and zealous life of service. Because we are serving Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But perhaps the situation for some among us is not so much because you have come to a certain season in life and you need to change your tire, but because life and ministry has been difficult for you. You feel depleted. You feel discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned. And if this describes your situation, then it's a much deeper issue. Then the challenge in this Lent season for us, if this is your experience, is to ask God not just to replace your tire, but to restart your fire. And ask God to refire us for a life of service. So that we will be ever more ready for Christ's return. There was a man by the name of A.H. Pilchen. He was on board a cruise ship that was sailing across the Atlantic. He was having dinner in the ship restaurant when reports came that the ship was going to sink. He did not believe that report. How could it be? But he felt a sudden urge to rush back to his room. And that was a stateroom, because he was a wealthy man. Rushed back to his stateroom in the ship to go back to his safe to try to retrieve his valuables. And apparently, he had kept 300,000 worth of jewelry and money in the safe. But with a sudden change of mind and heart, he decided not to rush back to his room. He went straight from the restaurant to the evacuation point. He caught hold of the rope. He slid it down 7 meters all the way to the lifeboat. And as the lifeboat rowed away, he looked back and he saw the Titanic was sinking after hitting an iceberg. If he had gone back to his stateroom to get his money and jewelry, he would have missed the lifeboat and he would have gone down with the ship. And apparently, 11 millionaires went down together with the ship, went down with the Titanic. When the end was near, all that they had became worthless. And as Pilchen recalled the end of the Titanic, he said, "The money seemed a mockery at that time." So my brothers and sisters, so likewise, the end is drawing near. Let us focus on the things that truly matter for Christ's return. Pray. Love. Serve. Amen. Let us all stand as we respond. My brothers and sisters, this world that we live in calls us to live for all kinds of purposes for ourselves. And whenever we live for ourselves, the world applauds us. But the world will not remind us that this world is coming to an end, because Christ will come again. And when Christ comes again, everything will be laid bare for what we live for. My brothers and sisters, we are drawing near to the end of this sermon and Bible study series. This church team is not just a team that we change every year. It is not just a purpose we realize for God. It is a privilege we receive from God. And therefore, let this closing song lead and empower, inspire you to the response that God wants you to make in your life. Amen.